our Bibles to Genesis chapter 14. Reading from verse 18 through 20. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, which we know the word Salem means king of peace, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God. Notice, out from the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And Abraham gave him tithes of all. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we recognize, Lord, that you are the Word, and that these words which were written in this book, penned by men but anointed by your Holy Spirit, we believe that it's your Word, Father. And Lord, we look upon thy Word this morning, we see a scene that took place where you came down in a theophonic form, and you met with Abraham, our father, in the faith. And Father, you blessed him, and then he blessed thee and gave thee tithes of all. And we recognize that you came for his deliverance in that hour, and you came for his protection. And you came to bring forth the promised son. And so, Lord, we desire the same, because the conditions are here today. It's perilous times at the end time. We desire the same that you gave to Abraham, Father, and we give you, Lord, our tithe of all. And Father, we know that you came not only to deliver him from the hands of those kings, those five kings that came together, but Father, you also, Lord, have come to bring forth a mediation, to bring forth peace, and to usher in that eternal and invisible kingdom. We know that you, the King, the immortal King, the invisible King, are here. And as we read the other night, where Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, when they asked him when the kingdom of God would come, he said, it cometh not with observation. It's not an observable thing. It's an invisible thing. And faith is the evidence of things that are not seen. And so, Father, we by faith accept the coming forth of your great kingdom, knowing that you're here, Father, and that we're safe because of your presence. Now we commit ourselves to thy presence in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I'd like to preach from paragraph 160 of Who's This Melchizedek, where Brother Branham said that Melchizedek was flesh, represented himself in the human body, and then later he was made flesh, and now tonight he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I'd like to subtitle this, Who is this Melchizedek? It is God. Now let's stop here for a moment and ask the question, what does Brother Branham mean by this? He's telling us that the one that acted out the role of Melchizedek and later came into the flesh of his own son and acted out that role again is the same one who is here in a body of flesh doing again what he already has done, for he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now the real question is this. Either Brother Branham was a very bold person to say this, or to lay out this question to the people, or it was God saying it. Let me read the question again. He said, that Melchizedek was flesh, represented himself in a human body, and then later he was made flesh, and now tonight he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what's he saying? That same Melchizedek is here in the human body. And as I said, either it was a pretty bold man to make those claims about himself, or it was God making those claims, and then God there to vindicate and back up those claims by showing the same sign that he showed to Abraham, he was shown to a people in this day. Then if it was Brother Branham, we could not expect God to back up what he said. But if it was God declaring himself through this man, William Branham, then we would expect God to back up his declaration and to vindicate this to be true. And that's precisely what he did. He stood right behind that man and vindicated that message by showing the very same signs that he performed by Sarah, to Sarah and Abraham, discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart, showing that he's still the same Word and that he has not changed. And Brother Branham asked the question, do you believe it? Who is this Melchizedek then? That's the same yesterday, never had no father, never had no mother, he never had no beginning of days, he never had any ending of life. And now remember, Jesus had both father and mother, Jesus had beginning of days, and Jesus had ending of life. But God didn't. So who is this Melchizedek? It's God. Who is this then in this body of flesh that's discerning these things? It's God. No wonder they thought him deity. Because they could see that God was doing something. Now, Genesis 14 and verse 18 in Melchizedek, king of Salem. Notice, king of peace. And all the scripture tells us is that this man shows up. He's called the king of peace, and we're told that he is a priest of the one true God. And now there's only one king of peace, and that is God himself. And he's called by the name Jehovah Shalom, which is God of peace. Also, we must understand that a priest is a mediator, an intercessor between God and man. Therefore, this king priest came forth from the presence of God, and he came to administer to Abraham God's blessings. He came to Abraham to present the message of peace. He came to vindicate the promise of a son that he had already made to Abraham. And we should keep this in mind, because Wednesday night we preached on that coming kingdom. We preached on the invisible king, and how he is not only king, but he's judge, and that he's here setting up a kingdom. And if he is the king of peace, no wonder there's relaxation under the seventh seal. The world is in a whirlwind. It's a tumultuous time. Perilous times have come. In the book of Luke, it tells us that there'll be signs in the heavens, and the stars, and fire, and all these kind of things, and it's all coming down upon us. Remember, in Egypt, the people were under plagues. But in Goshen, they were in the presence of the Lord. Keep me, O God, in your presence. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For though 1,000 fall at my right and 10,000 at my left, yet none of it shall come nigh my dwelling. Is there any place on earth that can hide out from the things that are coming? I doubt it. Even way up in Alaska, when the 1918 plague came because they rejected the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or because they rejected Wesley's message, excuse me. In 1918, they rejected Azusa Street. The world rejected. And so 1918, the plague even hit up in Alaska. They found bodies with the plague still in it. Is there any place you can hide from the wrath of God? I don't think so. But it's all coming. In Psalm 110 and verse 1 we read, the Lord, and that word there is Jehovah Adonai, the existing one, the self-existing one, said unto my Lord, that word is Adon, which means my Lord or Master, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now remember, this is the Lord Jehovah saying to another, calling him Lord. He says, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now, before we go any further, we must ask ourselves who this Lord and Master that David is speaking of is. It is not the Lord God, because David is telling us it is another, other than the Lord God. He says, the Lord, that's Jehovah, Elohim, or Adonai, the Lord saith unto my Lord. Therefore, one is speaking to the other, and the one who is speaking to the other is Jehovah God, and he is speaking to the one that David calls Master or Lord. Then we find out that God speaks to this other Lord. He says, the Lord shall send the rod of the strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So this one then will be made after the order of Melchizedek. He comes after, but in the same manner. Therefore we see this picture that this one who is called Lord and Master will also be called a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. It does not tell us that he is Melchizedek, but he will be a priest after the order, which the word after comes from the Hebrew word al, and it means upon, on the grounds of, or according to, on account of, on behalf of, concerning, beside, in addition to, or together with. Therefore, this one that is spoken of here will come and enter into a priestly order which was founded by this Melchizedek. This then tells us that this Melchizedek laid the groundwork for this priestly order.
He set the pattern in which this other will follow. Next, in the New Testament, we find Paul referring to the same thing in Hebrews chapter 5. Paul tells us the purpose of the priest is to offer sacrifice to God on the behalf of man. And Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1, we read, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant, and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason thereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins." In other words, he says, look, the priest and the people are the same. They all have infirmity. They all have problems. But the priest then could go into before God and offer sacrifice, not only for the sins of the people, but for himself as well. But he says, then Paul tells us that no man can take this honor unto himself, but that he must be called by God to do so. Therefore, this office of high priest is one which God must select out and place. God must anoint the man to the office. Notice in verse 4, "And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Now notice that Paul is making reference to Psalm 110, verse 1 to 4 here. He says, "Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee," which refers to the Father speaking to the Son. Then Paul says that God said in another place, referring to Psalm 110, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Now remember this, the one that Paul is referring to here in Psalm 110, verse 1 to 4, which was called the Lord or Master by David, but if you'll notice, David never called this one God. He said that Jehovah God said under this Lord and Master, "Sit thou at my right hand until I have made thee thine enemies thy footstool." Now we know that the Son of God ascended up on high after God raised him from the dead. And in fact, there are 18 times in the New Testament which specifically speaks of God raising up his Son. And it is this Son which is allowed to sit down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, according to 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, if you follow me there, and we find in verse 25, "For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." Now I want you to, if you would, if you got a pen, you might want to mark these down. We've done this before, but we'll do it again. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 25, "For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he, God, hath put all things under his," the Son of God's, "feet." You might want to put G for he there, and S for the Son of God. Alright, under his. And then we read the next verse, "But when he," God, just put a G there, saith all things that are put under him, being put an S there, the Son of God, "it is manifested that he," God, "is accepted, which did put all things under him," put an S there, the Son of God. "And when all things shall be subdued unto him," S, the Son of God, "then shall the Son also himself," the Son of God, "be subject unto him," God, "that put all things under him," the Son of God's, "feet, that God may be all in all." Alright, so where you've got he, basically speaking of God, where you've got his or him, is speaking of the Son of God. Again, we see in Hebrews 1, verse 13, "But to which of the angels said he," God, "at any time, sit on my," God's, "right hand, until I," God, "make thine enemies thy footstool." Now we read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, "By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice which can never take away sins. But this man, after that he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, he sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool." Notice how Hebrews ties right into 1 Corinthians 15. Now, Jesus knew the people would have a problem with understanding the relationship that he and his Father had. So he asked the following question in reference to what David said while in the Spirit. Now notice, Matthew chapter 22, and this is a very good one, especially for those that would like to talk to people about the Godhead. But notice, Matthew 22, verse 41, "While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" So Jesus was letting them know that Christ is the son of someone. And he said, whose son is he? And they said unto him, well, he's the son of David. And Jesus said unto them, how then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how could he be his son? And no man was able to ask him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask any more questions. It's no wonder the Pharisees wanted to kill Jesus. He was preaching two lords. And he didn't even explain it to them. He just said, okay, whose son is Christ? They said, well, he's the son of David. He said, how could he be the son of David if David called him Lord? Okay. Remember the same scripture that we read. The Lord said unto my Lord, he also says, this day have I begotten thee. So the Lord, Jehovah Adonai, says to Adon, his son, he says, you're Lord. And doesn't it tell us in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. Now, getting back to Hebrews chapter 5, we'll read in verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong cryings and tears on him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom ye have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now that brings you right back to Malachi 3. They that feared the Lord spake often unto another, the Lord hearkened, heard it, wrote a book of remembrance. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord host, when I come and assemble the people. And he says, then they shall go forth and discern. That's today. Those that receive the strong meat are able to discern. Those that receive milk. Now you can go any place you want to in America. Almost 99% of the church is in the message in America. And you're not going to get the message. You're going to get focus on the family. That's the truth. They're preaching focus on the family. Focus on the bride. Focus on relationships. Focus on husband and wife. It's like Brother Don Hoffman said to me, he said, you know, he said, the only difference between that and a Baptist church is the hair and the dresses on the women. They're preaching the same message. Youth conferences. Husband and wife conferences. That's all psychology. Focus on the family. He's a psychologist. Brother Bam said, it's not psychology. It's the Word of God. Jesus said, I'll come and he said, my Word will divide families. It'll divide husband from wife. It'll divide children from their parents. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, we should use the word and hack away at each other, but what I'm trying to say is this, that the message has been so watered down to Brother Vail said that the make-believers have taken over the message. It's all psychology. And I'm going to tell you something, I'll just say it right flat. You women love that. And kids love that. But that's not meat. It's milk. But women love those things. But show me where it's done any good. Well, you know, they're in church at least. Yeah, and what are they feeding on? And Jesus said, you compass land and sea to make one proselyte, and you make a twofold child more of hell than he was to begin with. Yeah, they've got their programs. But they won't teach them what the prophet said. They refuse to teach. You go to their church, though, and they'll have 45 minutes of song service, and then they'll have 15 minutes of preaching, and then they'll go back to a half-hour song service. And you ask them, you know, why the preacher doesn't preach? Well, you know, he just wants you to listen to the tapes. And how many of them are doing that? How many of us are doing that? We ought to be. That's the voice of God to us. Now, Paul tells us here that the teaching of Melchizedek is strong meat and it's not for children. Children should not be given strong meat because they'll choke on it. Therefore, any who can't receive the teaching of Melchizedek are not fully grown in the faith. Another thing that we see here is that God is the one who called Jesus to this office or this order. We are told in the same breath that Jesus had to learn obedience to this calling. Therefore, we can see that God played out the role of Melchizedek in order in the Old Testament for the purpose of giving instruction to his son, that when Jesus came to the place of maturity, and remember, he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. He came to maturity through the suffering. And how often we won't let our kids suffer. How do you expect a kid to grow up if they don't suffer? Give them everything they want, or you bail them out all the time. They've got to stand on their own two feet. Like Brother Brown said, the eagle, he would just take the rabbits out of the nest. And then pretty soon he kicks the little chick out of the nest. And if it doesn't fly, well, it's just not a survival of the fittest.
That's love.
And that's love. That's absolutely, that's what's the expression they say about that? It's not hard love, but what do they call that? Tough love, that's it. That's the word, tough love. Okay. In John 5:19, Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, that also the Son doeth likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. In John 5:30, we also hear Jesus say, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. And again in John 8:27, or 8:28, we hear Jesus say, Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak those things. Therefore I believe the importance of Melchizedek ministry in the Old Testament was that the Father set forth the pattern and example for his Son to come after, to come forth after the order, in the same order or same manner as the Father acted out his role as high priest and king in the Old Testament, as he did to Abraham. Then in like manner, so Jesus came forth to act out the role of high priest during the church ages, and then as king during the millennium. And the following quotes by William Branham, vindicated prophet of God, will bear out the understanding of this Melchizedek. He says, Another thing we must understand is that Jesus was not born with the title Lord. It did not come until God made him both Lord and Christ. That's Acts 2:36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter saith unto them, Repent, which means change of thinking, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But they won't repent. They won't change their thinking. Now, let me just say this. In order to receive the Holy Ghost, they've got to change their thinking. Is that right? Is that what he says? Repent first. That's the first thing, repent. But to keep bailing them out, are they going to repent? No, basically, you should be praying that God hold them over hell by a thin thread. And make their life so miserable until they do repent. That's what you should be praying for your children. God make life so miserable that they'll get on their knees and come to you. That's what you should be praying for as parents. Open their eyes, Lord, like you opened my eyes. Because until they do, until they fully repented, change their thinking, they could never receive a holy God into an unholy vessel. Another thing, well, notice God made him to be both Lord and Christ. Therefore, the Lordship of Jesus was a title that God placed upon His Son. It also tells us that God made His Son Christ, which means the Anointed One. Yes, God anointed Jesus. The Scripture plainly tells us that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost. Then if God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost, He did not have this anointing when He was born. Notice in Acts 10 and 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Notice, God anointed him. The word Christ means anointed, it means anointer, and it means anointing. So when you read the word Christ, and you read the word Jesus Christ, you have to ask, is it speaking of God the anointer, or is it speaking of the Son who's been anointed? You see? From Hebrews chapter 7, part 1, Brother Manson. Now I think Paul here gives the right interpretation for this Melchizedek, King of Salem, King of Salem, and any Bible scholar knows that Salem was formerly Jerusalem, was formerly called Salem, and he was the King of Jerusalem. Now watch him. Priest of the Most High God, that's an intercessor, who met Abraham, and I want to get this genealogy, this great man, so that you know who he is first, and then we'll go on with the story. Returning from the slaughter of the kings, and he blessed him, to whom Abraham gave a tenth part, first by interpretation, king of righteousness. Now watch, righteousness, that's likewiseness. Now, we have self-righteousness, and we have make-believe righteousness, and we have perverted righteousness in all kinds. But there's one real righteousness, and that's righteousness that comes from God. And this man was the king of righteousness. Who could he be now? He was the king, notice, the king of righteousness, the king of Jerusalem, the king of righteousness, the king of peace. Now Jesus was called the Prince of Peace, and Prince is the son of a king. So this man was king of peace, then he would have to be the father of the Prince of Peace. You get it? Now let's see. Get his genealogy a little further. You see where we're going with. Father. Now Jesus had a father. You believe that? Sure he was. Without mother. Jesus had a mother. But this fellow had neither father nor mother. Without descent, he never had anyone that he came off of. Any descent, he always was. Without descent. Having neither beginning of days, he never had any time that he started. Nor the end of life. It could been nothing else but God. Now notice, if you'll notice, as we read in the next verse, see? First being by interpretation, king of righteousness. That's that's not where I want to do this, the third verse. Nor the end of life. But made like unto the Son of God. Now, he was not the Son of God. For if he was the Son of God, he had a beginning, and this man had no beginning. If he was a son, he had to have both father and mother. And this man had neither father nor mother. But he was made like unto the Son of God, and he abided continually, the priest continually. Now, Dr. Scofield tries to say that this is a priesthood, called the Melchizedek priesthood. But I just want to take you on that, just for a few minutes. If it was a priesthood, then it had to have a beginning, and it had to have an end. But this had no beginning or had no end. And he did not say that he met a priesthood. He met a man. And the man was called Melchizedek. He was a person, not a denomination, not a priesthood or a fatherhood. He was absolutely a man by the name of Melchizedek, who was the king of Jerusalem. Not a priesthood, but a king without a father. Priesthoods don't have father. And this man was without father, without mother, without beginning of days or ending of life. Now the Son of God, who was this? This was Jehovah. This was Almighty God Himself. It could be no other. Now notice, He abided forever. He has a testimony here that He liveth. He never dies. He never did. He never was nothing else but alive. He abided forever. Now Jesus was made like unto Him. Now the reason that there's a difference between God and Jesus is Jesus had a beginning. God had no beginning. Melchizedek had no beginning. And Jesus had a beginning. But Jesus was made like unto Him, a priest abideth forever. And then we pick up at paragraph 93. He says, now we want to notice here, now, again, as we go on in this lesson of this Melchizedek, this great priest of Salem, the possessor of heavens and earth, now being first without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor ending of life, but was made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now watch. He wasn't the Son of God. He was the God of the Son. He wasn't the Son of God, Melchizedek wasn't, but he was the Father of the Son of God. Now how more plain can you get? And yet we still find people taking these things and trying to twist them, and they'll find one quote where Brother Brown said, now Jesus was Melchizedek. Well, which Jesus? They'll throw up 300 quotes where Brother Brown says he was not the Son of God. that he was the father of the Son. Those quotes don't even exist. And they'll come up with one quote where Brother Branham said Jesus was Melchizedek. But in the same breath, and they cut out that out of that paragraph where he says, the father of the Son. Jesus came in his, when he says, Brother Brown says, didn't Jesus come in his father's name? From Hebrews chapter 7, paragraph 118. That same Melchizedek that met Abraham, coming from the father of kings, certainly the God of heaven, the Elohim, the great I am, not the I was, the I am, the present tense, and he blessed him. Listen here just further, so we can get the lesson a little closer together. Now the fourth verse, now continue how great this man was. I just think that too. See? Consider how great this man was. He's beyond the Son of God. The Son of God had a father and mother. He didn't. The Son of God had a beginning of time and an ending of time. He didn't. Who was that? That was the father of the Son. That's who it was. Again, in paragraph 306, he says, and this Melchizedek was not Jesus, for he was God. Well, what about the quote where it says he was Jesus? Jesus was Melchizedek. Then which Jesus? Right here. And this Melchizedek was not Jesus, for he was God. And what made Jesus and God different? Jesus was a tabernacle that God dwelt in. Now Melchizedek, Jesus had both father and mother. This man had never father and a mother. Jesus had a beginning of life and an ending of life. This man had no father, no mother, no beginning of day, no ending of life. But it was the self-same person, it was Melchizedek, and Jesus was one. But Jesus was the earthly body, born and fashioned after sin, God's own body, his own son, born and fashioned after sin to take the sting out of death, to pay the ransom and receive sons and daughters unto him. You get it? That's the reason that he had a beginning, that he had an ending. Now I just read a paragraph that sounds very confusing if you take just one statement. Let me just take the one statement. Brother Branham said this, he says, but it was the self-same person. It was Melchizedek and Jesus was one. And that's the quote that the fellow put on his website. But he doesn't take the beginning of the paragraph where Brother Brown says, and this Melchizedek was not Jesus. For he was God. And what made Jesus and God different? Jesus was a tabernacle that God dwelt in. You see how they just take that one little piece and try to drive home their theology. And you've got to throw out the rest of the paragraph. From why Christ speak, Brother Brown said, and how many knows that Christ is the Spirit of God? We all know that. He's the anointed one. Jesus was the anointed. Notice that? Christ, anointed, anointer, anointing. Let's read it again. How many knows that Christ is the Spirit of God? We all know that. He's the anointed one. Jesus was the anointed. There's where people who believe that there's three or four different gods gets all mixed up. God is a spirit. Jesus was the body that the Spirit of God dwelled in. Made him Emmanuel, God tabernacled on earth. He was God. Jesus Christ was God. Yet, he was the Son of God. His flesh was the Son of God because God created it. But inside, he was God. It's not me, said Jesus, that does the work. It's my Father that dwelleth in me. And that day you'll know that I'm in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. There you are. What do we do when Jesus said, Father, I pray that they will be one, even as you and I are one? Now, if you're oneness, you're going to say, okay, then you can start preaching like these guys do out there, that we are all God. It's just insanity. From Shalom, Brother Branson, when Melchizedek met Abraham from the slaughter of the kings, he was the king of Jerusalem, a priest, which was Christ. It was God. No one else could be Melchizedek but Christ himself, God himself rather, see? God himself because he was without father, without mother. See, Jesus had both father and mother, see? So this man was without father, without mother, without beginning of days or ending of life, and whoever he was, he still lives. And he was king at that time of Salem, which is interpreted king of peace, Shalom, king of Jerusalem. Who met Abraham and give him wine and bread, communion after the battle. A very beautiful type there in the 7th chapter of Hebrews, we find it. Now gave him bread and wine after the battle was all over. That's the first thing that we'll take after we enter into the new kingdom. We will eat anew with him in the Father's kingdom, the bread and wine. I'll not drink the fruit of the vine or eat of the bread anymore until I eat it with you anew in the Father's kingdom at that day. And from the trial, Brother Branham said, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom when the Son of Man is being revealed, in the days of Sodom was the Son. That was God revealed in human flesh, which was one time called Melchizedek, the Father. Melchizedek at that time had no father, no mother, no beginning of days, no ending of life. Ever who he was, he remains the same. Jesus had father and mother, but this man had neither father nor mother. And he appeared to Abraham in the form of a son of man. Elohim, Jehovah. The church now has served the term through the church ages in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said here, to Malachi 4 and the rest of the scriptures, to make them real to you, see, that in the last days, just before the coming, the world setting would be like Sodom. And the Son of Man will reveal himself as the Son of Man like he did in the days of Sodom. In other words, Jehovah God would come down. Now, from who is this Melchizedek? Paragraph 55, Brother Branham said, now. Now notice all his attributes. Then the attribute was first God. The thought, the attribute itself, all in one, without being expressed. Then when he expressed secondarily, he became then the Word, and then the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. St. John, the first chapter and the first verse. Notice, this is the beginning, but just before the eternal. Notice, in the beginning was the Word. When the time began, it was the Word. But before it was Word, it was an attribute, a thought. Then it was expressed. In the beginning was the expression, the Word. Now, see. Now we're getting where Melchizedek is. That's this mysterious person. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hold that there now. Now notice, his first being was Spirit, God, supernatural, all right, the great eternal. And second, he began to form himself for his flesh in the theophany, and it's called the Word, or a body. This then is the state he was in when he met Abraham, and it was called Melchizedek. He was in the form of a theophany. Now we'll get to that. And prove it in just a few minutes, the Lord willing, that he was the Word. And then again from paragraph 64, he said, and now God in this stage, at this stage of his creation, later formed into flesh, from what? From the great beginning Spirit, then came down to the Word itself, bringing itself out. The Word doesn't yet make itself, it's just spoke out and morphed. Later he becomes flesh, Jesus mortal to taste death for all sinners. When Abraham met him, he was Melchizedek. He unfolds here what all the attributes will do in the final end. Every son of Abraham, every son of the faith will absolutely do the same thing. But I want you to watch how that we have to come. Also, we see him revealed here in Ruth and in Boaz as the kinsman redeemer, how that he came to flesh. Now, see the attributes, son of the Spirit, see the attributes, sons of the Spirit, have not yet entered into the Word body form, but a theophany. This body is subject to the Word and earnest, waiting for the earnest change of the body. Now, the difference between him and you as a son, see, he was at the beginning the Word, and in a morphed body. He came and lived in that, in the person of Melchizedek. Then later, he never heard no more of Melchizedek, because he became Jesus Christ. Melchizedek was the priest, but he became Jesus Christ. Now, you bypass that. Because in that form, he knew all things, and you have never been able yet to know that. You come like Adam, like me. You become from the attribute to the flesh to be tempted. But when this life is finished here, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. That's where we go. That's the Word. Then we can look back and see what we've done. Now we don't understand it. We have never become the Word. We've just become a flesh man, but not the Word. Now the question then must arise, how did he become Jesus Christ? And the answer is simple, by indwelling his Son, just as he indwelled Melchizedek. Or how did Jesus, the Son of God, become the Christ? And that's when God anointed him. Again, from paragraph 95 of Who is this Melchizedek? Brother Ross said, now the true revelation of Melchizedek comes into view, that he was God, the Word. Before he became flesh, he was God, the Word. Because he had to be. No one else could be immortal like him. I had father and mother, and you did too. Jesus had father and mother, but this man had no father, and he had no mother. Jesus had a time that he started, this man didn't. Jesus gave his life, this man couldn't, because he was life. And it's the self-same man all the time. I hope that God reveals it to you, the self-same person all the time. Again, from paragraph 109. Who is this Melchizedek? It's God. And from Christ revealing his own word, he said, when Jesus was manifested in the Old Testament in a theophany in the person of Melchizedek, not the priesthood, but the person, the man. See, for this man had yet not been born, but he was in a theophany, so he had no father, no mother. He was God himself. He was manifested in the form of man, called King of Salem, which is King of Peace and King of Righteousness. See, he was Melchizedek. He had neither father nor mother, beginning of days nor ending of life. See, it was Jesus in the form, in the theophonic form of a man. All right. Now, Brother Van Keith's telling us that Melchizedek was not the Son, but he was the Father of the Son, and if he, throughout his ministry, kept telling us that Melchizedek was not Jesus, and then turns around and calls him God, and then here he calls him Jesus, and then he calls him God, then we must ask ourselves, which Jesus is he talking about? Jesus came in his Father's name. If that be so, then the name of the Father is also Jesus. And if this be true, which it is, then this Jesus that he is speaking of here is the Father. Melchizedek was the Father. Jesus came after the order of Melchizedek. Came after in a like fashion. See? I believe the fact that Jesus came in his Father's name has caused more stumbling than any one single thing. But yet, it is so simple. I came in my Father's name and so did every one of you. Then why do we have so much trouble in making such a mysterious thing that Jesus, the Son of God, came in the name of the Father? And he is not the Father, but he came in the name of the Father. From verses Melchizedek 160 to conclude here today, Brother Van says, and he met Abraham, and what kind of a sign did he perform? Then when he was made flesh, he said it would repeat again just before the end time. You believe that? I believe it. Let's pray. And we showed Wednesday night that the sign that he performed was the sign of the judge, which is the sign of the word, for the word is a discerner in the thoughts and intents of the heart. Then who is this Melchizedek? He's judge of all the earth. He's king, he's priest, he's judge. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. And gracious Father, we recognize that you are the one that Brother Branham was pointing to us. You are the same one who came to Abraham, and you are the same one who has come in this hour. And you have shown that you are the same by the same sign that you performed to Abraham and Sarah. You have now performed to us in this hour, to the royal seed of Abraham. Father, I pray that we would be ever so thankful for the great sign which you have shown us in this hour, that it might put away all fear and uncertainty. For you came and you declared yourself to be the same, and then you backed up those words. You backed up that message. You backed up your shout with clear Bible evidence, and thus saith the Lord. And for that we are thankful. Help us, O God, to put our rest and our trust in thee. For you promised, and you have come to fulfill those promises. As your prophet said, you who gave the promise is here to confirm it. And in the name that you gave your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in that wonderful name we pray. Amen.